Lisbon, Portugal, unfurnished rentals for long stays. The rough-hewn granite blocks, some bearing the faint, eroded marks of Roman chisels, form the very base of the structure where I just inquired about unfurnished rentals, a testament to Lisbon's layered past. These stones, cool to the touch even under the relentless midday sun, whisper tales of Alesippo, the Roman city that once thrived here, long before the modern airliners like the TAP Air Portugal flight that brought me and settled onto the tarmac. The air carries a distinct scent, a complex blend of salt from the Tagus estuary, a hint of baking bread from a nearby padaria, and the damp, earthy smell emanating from centuries-old foundations. Walking these cobbled lanes, particularly in the Alfama district, is to trace the very sinews of the city's evolution. Each irregular stone underfoot, worn smooth by countless generations of footsteps, feels like a direct connection to the Phoenician traders who first established a port here, then the Roman engineers, and later the Moorish artisans who shaped its labyrinthine alleys. The visual tapestry is mesmerizing. Ochre-colored rooftops cascade down hillsides, punctuated by the stark white of azulejos reflecting the light, and the deep, rich reds of terracotta tiles. The distant, mournful strains of fado music drift from an open window, a poignant echo against the clatter of a passing tram, reminding me that even amidst the ancient, life pulses with a profound, modern rhythm. I can almost feel the weight of history pressing in, a comforting presence rather than an oppressive one. The intricate details of a Moorish archway, its keyhole shape perfectly preserved, speak of a meticulous craftsmanship that predates the city's grandest imperial ambitions. These foundations, often integrated seamlessly into later Manueline and Pombaline constructions, offer a masterclass in urban resilience, a city perpetually rebuilding upon its own deep-seated memories. There's a quiet dignity to these old walls, a stoic resistance to the passage of time, making any search for a long-term dwelling here feel like an excavation into the very soul of Lisbon, a search for a place to truly anchor oneself within its profound narrative. Unfurnished rentals, abodes. The hunt for unfurnished rentals in Lisbon is a stark lesson in local reality. Forget the sanitized predictability of all-inclusive packages, here, every creak in the floorboards, every draft from an ill-fitting frame, tells a story. My current long-term unfurnished rentals, a modest apartment in Graca, offers views not of manicured lawns but of laundry lines strung between ancient tenements, their plaster flaking like old skin. The air, heavy with the scent of grilling sardines and exhaust fumes, filters through the open shutters. It's a raw immersion, a direct contrast to the insulated bubble of a half-board hotel where the biggest decision is which buffet line to join. Here, the challenge of finding suitable unfurnished rentals is part of the experience, forcing interaction with agents, landlords, and the city's sometimes opaque bureaucracy. This engagement, though frustrating at times, strips away any pretense of being a mere observer. You become a participant, negotiating for your space, for your survival, in a city that demands your full attention. The silence inside these unfurnished rentals, once the street noise settles, is a profound quiet, unlike any I've experienced in transient lodging. It's a quiet that invites introspection, a sense of belonging to something much older than myself. Geology. Lisbon's very being is etched into its geology, a landscape shaped by seismic forces and the Tagus River's embrace. With the Canon 5D Mark IV and the 24-70mm f/2.8, I've spent hours documenting the stratified rock faces near São Jorge Castle. The exposed layers reveal millennia of deposition, a visual timeline of the Earth's movements. The ochre and gray hues shift with the sun, revealing subtle textures that speak of ancient riverbeds and volcanic activity. Below the castle's current structure, remnants of Iron Age settlements cling to the steep slopes, their rough-hewn blocks a testament to the earliest human attempts to tame this dramatic terrain. The ground itself vibrates with the city's activity, the distant rumble of the metro, the incessant chatter of passers-by, the clatter of cutlery from a nearby Tosca. The tactile sensation of the rough, weathered rock beneath my fingertips as I steady the tripod is a direct connection to the city's primeval origins, far predating any grand designs or colonial ambitions. It's a profound sense of rootedness, a feeling that this land has seen countless generations come and go, each leaving their faint imprint. Aqueduct. The Aqueduto das Águas Livres stands as a monumental achievement of engineering, its colossal arches striding across the Alcantara Valley. From below, the sheer scale is breathtaking, a series of precisely cut blocks forming an elegant, yet immensely powerful, structure. The air beneath the arches is cooler, carrying a faint, damp scent of moss and aged stone. I set up the tripod, the 24-70mm lens capturing the repetitive rhythm of the arches, each one a testament to meticulous planning and execution. This aqueduct, completed in the 18th century, was crucial for supplying fresh water to the city, a vital piece of infrastructure that sustained its growth and allowed its inhabitants to thrive. It's a stark reminder of how essential practical, robust systems were to the survival of a burgeoning urban center, a stark contrast to the fleeting conveniences offered by modern amenities. The precision in the stonework, the way each block interlocks, speaks volumes about the skill of the masons and the enduring vision behind its creation. It's a marvel that continues to function, a living monument to human ingenuity. Mercado. The Mercado de Ribera, now known as Time Out Market, pulsates with a different kind of energy. While its modern incarnation caters to diverse palates, the original structure and its enduring purpose as a hub of commerce remain. The scent of fresh seafood, ripe fruit, and exotic spices hangs thick in the air, mingling with the murmur of conversations and the clatter of dishes. My lens seeks out the architectural details of the ironwork and the vast, open spaces designed for bustling trade. The original market hall, with its soaring ceilings and robust supports, reflects an era when such public spaces were the true heart of urban life. This is where the city's pulse is most tangible, where daily life unfolds in a vibrant, unscripted drama. Comparing this sensory overload to the quiet, often sterile, environment of a typical hotel breakfast room highlights the chasm between authentic local life and curated experiences. The market isn't just a place to eat, it's a social condenser, a place where the city's diverse population converges, their interactions forming a complex tapestry of sounds and movements. The vibrant colors of the produce, the glint of fish scales under the market lights, all contribute to a vivid, almost overwhelming, sensory tableau. Echoes wandering through the older sections of Alfama, particularly around the Castelo de São Jorge, the city's ancient layers become palpable. The ground beneath my worn boots feels uneven, shaped by centuries of foot traffic and minor tremors. The air here holds a distinct aroma of damp earth and something vaguely metallic, perhaps from the old ironwork on some of the remaining pre-seismic structures. My canon captures the subtle variations in the surviving pre-Roman and Moorish stonework, distinct from the later, more uniform construction. These rougher, irregular blocks tell a story of earlier inhabitants, of defensive positions against unknown threats. The winding paths, seemingly haphazard, actually follow ancient contours, dictated by the land itself. I imagine the earliest inhabitants navigating these very same slopes, their lives inextricably linked to the rhythm of the river and the demands of the terrain. The sheer resilience of these ancient structures, having withstood countless changes, speaks to a profound connection between the people and their environment. It's in these quiet corners, far from the polished facades, that the true character of Lisbon reveals itself, a character built on enduring foundations and the continuous adaptation of its people. Museu de Lisboa. Lisbon, Portugal, unfurnished rentals for long stays. Outro. The afternoon sun, now a muted orange, painted long shadows across the rough surfaces I'd spent hours tracing. Each block, some barely more than irregular shapes fitted with uncanny precision, spoke volumes. Not of grand empires, but of pragmatic survival, of early peoples carving out existence on this hilly promontory. The cool touch of the ancient material against my fingertips was a direct link, a palpable connection to a distant past. The sheer density of human endeavor, visible in every interlocking piece, is profound. You feel the weight of countless hands, shaping the very earth beneath your feet, a silent testament to continuous habitation. The air, thick with the scent of roasted chestnuts from a nearby vendor and the faint, sweet decay of old wood, carried the distant hum of city life. This modern symphony was a stark counterpoint to the silent testament of these enduring structures, their earliest underpinnings holding fast against millennia. The cultural impact of witnessing such deep roots is a grounding force, a reminder of persistence that resonates beyond mere sightseeing. It makes the transient nature of seeking unfurnished rentals for a longer stay here feel less like a temporary stop and more like a quest for deeper connection, not just convenience. I see signs for unfurnished rentals, empty spaces waiting for a new story, and I wonder about the tales these ancient structures could tell if they could speak. Tomorrow, the plan shifts. I've marked a route through Moraria, specifically seeking out the most secluded courtyards and the oldest visible sections of its original street plan. I want to understand how those earliest inhabitants oriented their lives, how their paths were laid out before any grand design, before the very concept of a city as we know it took hold. The objective is to trace the subtle shifts in the urban fabric, piece by painstaking piece.